Welcome, everyone, to Arise Company, where we help people find life, enjoy life, and win in life. Glory to God. It's all because of Jesus. Jesus is the one who always causes us to triumph in Christ Jesus. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. He is our answer. Hallelujah. He that has a son has life. Whoo! Glory to God. So we've been on a series we started last week called Active Believing, Seeing Results. And so we've got four theme scriptures. So I just want to quickly read them. Mark 11:22 says, have faith in God. Hallelujah. James chapter 2, verses 17, verses 20, and verse 26. Matter of fact, James repeats the same thing three times. It says, faith without works is dead. Faith without works is dead. And he's quoting that from the Old Testament. Romans chapter 10, verse 17 says this, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And then 1 John 5:4 says this, this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Hallelujah. Victory, victory, victory. So, the last week we talked about this. The word faith is the Greek word pistis. It's a noun. It's a noun. It means it's a thing. It means this, a persuasion or conviction of truth, a belief, a guarantee. So it's a thing. Faith is belief. Faith is belief. That's why James had to say that faith without works is dead, because belief without action, corresponding action, without works is dead, unproductive. It does not produce results. So faith is a noun. Faith is faith. Faith needs action to it. But now, so faith as a noun, it's a belief. It's a mindset, but more than that, it is a spiritual conviction. It's of the heart. It's of the heart, meaning it's of the mind and of the spirit. It's a spiritual thing too. It's a noun. The word believe, though, the word believe is pisteo. It's a verb. Believe is a verb. And it means to have faith in, to entrust, to believe. Believe is an action word. Now, so that's why I say active believing. Why? Because I'm wanting to encourage us or remind us or emphasize the fact that we must act on what we believe to produce results. So now, going back to the word faith, one of the root words is actually a verb. The word pistis comes from a primary verb, patheo. It's a prime verb that this noun comes from. And it means this, meaning to convince. I have a belief because I was convinced. Right? It means to rely by inward certainty. I have a belief because I have been given an inward certainty. It means to agree. I have a certain belief because I'm choosing to agree with someone. It means it comes from this primary verb to obey. I have this belief because I'm obeying. It means to persuade. I have a belief because I have been persuaded. It means to trust. I have a belief because I trust who told me. I have this certain belief, and it's the word yield. I'm yielding. I have this certain belief, and so I'm choosing to yield. I'm yielding to the one that told me. I have this belief. So the word belief, it's very interesting. The word belief is a noun, but it comes from this verb. In other words, we get this belief because we trust and are responding to someone. Now, it's very interesting. That means that we actually have confidence. Faith is a noun. It means belief. But we have the belief because of the character of the one that has been telling us. the character of the one who has given us the belief. Right? We shouldn't just believe or have a belief in everything people say. We shouldn't base our beliefs just on what anybody says. People can convince and people can persuade and people agree with people that don't even tell the truth. They have a belief in a lie. They have a belief in propaganda. They have a belief in just some kind of twisted thing that someone's trying to push. So it's very important that we actually understand and recognize the character of God. When He lays out His word before us, we are to be persuaded that what He said is true. We are to agree with Him. Take our belief, make our belief, align our belief with what He said, with what He has spoken, what He has. We are persuaded. A noun. I'm fully persuaded. I am convinced. It's a noun. I'm convinced because God said it. I'm not convinced because my life looks like it. I'm not convinced because I feel like it. I'm convinced because God said it. And when we're fully persuaded, noun, when we are convinced, noun, when we have this belief, noun, because God said it, then we can say, I believe that, and believe is an action. We start acting on this. This is my belief. Now I choose to act in line with that belief. Faith without works is dead or unproductive. But if I choose to hold on to a belief based on the Word of God, the character of God, the trustworthiness of God, the ability of God to perform what He had said in our lives, then faith without works is dead. So then I add works or corresponding action in line with that word that I have my belief in, the God that I have belief in, then we start seeing results. Have faith in God. Have belief in God. Base your belief on what God said. Belief without works is dead. Belief comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. We need us to understand all belief comes by hearing. So it's very important that we choose who we hear, who we listen to. But when we're talking about the Word of God, when we're talking about the kingdom of God, when we're talking about God results, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. We must hear what God says. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our belief. Our belief. Our mindsets. This something that we have on the inside of us, a noun, this something, this belief, puts us over. Hallelujah. So, Romans chapter 3, verse 27 says this, the law of faith, the law of faith. Faith is a law. It actually is a law, and because it's a law, it's constant, it's predictable, and it's for everyone. Say everyone. You know what? That means it's me. It's for everyone, and includes me. Includes you. Amen? Say that includes me. Amen. Hallelujah. It's constant, predictable, and for everyone. The word law can also be translated principles. The principles of faith are constant, predictable, and therefore everyone. Hallelujah. This is how faith or belief works. We see in 2 Corinthians 4:13, it says, having the same spirit of faith, I believe, therefore I speak. Hallelujah. This is how faith works. Active believing is a way to emphasize the action part of belief to get results and not just the belief itself. If we are believing something, we are acting on that something and producing results. Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3. Let's go back to Romans chapter 3. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Romans chapter 3. This is where we were last week. Just a reminder again, verse 3 and verse 4 says this. For what if some did not believe? Will their unbelief make the faithfulness of God without effect? Certainly not. Indeed, let God be true and every man a liar. What does that mean? That means what? What we believe doesn't change God. What we believe only changes what we receive. What we believe does not change God. If we don't believe God, does that make Him unfaithful? No, it just means that we don't receive anything from Him. Let God be true and every man a liar. What we believe doesn't change God, it only changes what we receive. And so we made it all the way through to verse chapter 4, verse 16. So let's pick up in verse 16. Because we see, well, you know what, let's go back to chapter 4, verse 3. What does the scripture say? Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. We found out that he believed God. That's an action. It's a verb. Believed God. And because he believed God, the promise not only was legally made his, but he received it. And so if we go to verse 5, it uses both words. Right? Because we're reading through this whole portion of Scripture where the word believe and the word faith are used a multitude of times. Verse 5 has both words. But to him who does not work but believes, that's an action word, on him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is accounted for righteousness. So again, we who believe, that's a verb, we receive, we're justified, we're made right. Things are put right, set right, and made right. We're made right. God justifies, makes right the ungodly. We receive it. How? Because we believe, an action word. His faith is accounted for righteousness. His faith. So our belief literally makes the promise legally ours. Our belief makes it legally ours. But having it legally ours doesn't mean we receive it or we enjoy it. It just means it's legally ours. So how do we receive it? How do we enjoy it? It's by believing. An action word. Action word. And that's what we've been going through here. Verse 16 says this. Therefore it is of faith, belief, noun, that it might be according to grace. Now grace, why? So that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not only to those who are of the law, but of those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. So what does faith do? Faith gives us legal access. Faith makes it legally ours. What? What grace? What grace has freely given us? God has graciously responded and favorably acted on our behalf with His power, His ability, and His resources. So He's made everything available to us. Faith accesses it. Faith, our belief, makes it legally mine, legally yours. What? What grace has freely provided? The promise. Grace has freely provided the promise. The Bible says God has given us great and precious promises. They are freely, graciously given to us. It's not something that's earned, right? Because verse 4 says this, now to him who works, the wages are not counted as grace, but as debt. Grace says it's freely given to us. Debt says this, I performed, I worked, I did what you said, now you owe me. Well, we're supposed to work, we're supposed to do, we're supposed to perform, we're supposed to obey, but our faith is not in our obedience. Our faith is in have faith in God. Our faith is in Him. who has graciously already given it to us for free. We don't have to work for it. We don't have to perform for it. We don't have to earn it. He said, our belief, verse 16, our belief gives us access to what grace has already freely given us. What is that? The promise. He's given us the promises. And the promises are sure, or they are guaranteed to each and every one of us who are of the faith or the belief of Abraham. And we saw in verse 12, he talked about the steps of the belief. The steps of the belief of Abraham. And so that's what he's about to get into here. Verse 17, as it is written, I have, this is God speaking. God said, I have made you a father of many nations. I have made you. When Abraham had no children, when it was impossible for him to have children, God said, I have made you a father of many nations. In the presence of him before he believed, in whom he believed, Abraham believed God. Now, verb. He believed what God said and acted on what God said. Verb, act of believing. How does God act? God, who gives life to the dead and calls those things that be not as though they were. Calls. We talked about that last week. Remember? Mark 11:23. The three says. Matter of fact, all three words have the word call in it. One call is a command. Whosoever shall say to this mountain, call, a command. To speak, to grant, exercising our authority. Whoever will say to this mountain, be removed and be cast in the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but believe that the things that he says will come to pass, he'll have whatever he says. He needs to believe that the things that he says, the things that he says, the word lego, meaning it's a building something, assembling something. With our words, we are making something come to pass. We are creating something. We are changing something as the way it is to become something else. We are laying forth a systematic set discourse. We are building something. We are naming something. Abraham named him. God named Abram. And he built something. He said, Abram, I've made you the father of many nations. So I'm calling you Abraham. And your wife is no longer Sarai, she's Sarah. She named. He named her, he named him. What's he doing? Every time they're saying, calling their name, calling themselves what God calls them, they were creating what he had for them. To call. God calls things that be not as though they were. I call you the father of many nations. Now, verse 18, New King James says this, who contrary to hope, in hope believed. King James says it this way, who against hope believed in hope. Now, how can you be against hope and believe in hope all at the same time? We said it's because it's two different hopes. The word hope means expectation. There's two different expectations. There is a natural expectation and there is a God expectation. There's a natural expectation. The natural expectation is you can't be 100 and have a baby. You can't be 90 and have a baby. And Sarah's been barren her whole life, so I mean, you just can't have a baby. But God said, I've made you a father of many nations, but we can't have a baby. See, that's natural expectation. Natural expectation. But God said, and see, that makes all the difference in the world. What are we going to believe? What is our belief going to be based on? The way it looks? A natural expectation? Or is our belief going to be based on what God said? Because God's expectation was, I've made you a father of many nations. and you're going to have seed, and your seed is going to produce seed, and you're going to have so many seed that it'll be like the sand can't be numbered, and the stars can't be numbered. Seed. Starts with one, but it's not stopping at one. There's a multitude. You are the father of nations. Nations. Wow. And so Abraham had a choice. And the Bible says, who against hope, natural expectation, decided to believe in hope. He decided to believe in God's expectation. Believe. Believe is what? Believe is a verb. Action. He had to do something. See, people think works and doing are all the same thing. Works and doing are not the same thing. The problem with the works that we're talking, that they've been talking about here, they're contrasting two different kinds of works. You can have a work to try to produce and earn something that God has already given you, or you can work and do something believing that you receive what God has already freely given you. That's the contrast that is going through here. Works are not bad. Matter of fact, the Bible talks about he's called us to do good works. So works are not the problem. It's just our faith is not supposed to be in our works. And our pressure towards God is not because is not that he owes us because of our works. Our works are to be works of obedience. Our works are to be works of working together with him to receive something he has already freely given us. Works are not the problem. It's where our faith is. It's where our belief and confidence is. It is to be in him, in his word, in what he has freely given us. And we are just working together with him to enjoy what he's already made ours. He doesn't owe us. He's already given it to us. There's no debt. He's already given it to us. He's not our problem. He's not withholding it. So, who against hope, natural expectation, decided to believe God's expectation. Why? So that he became the father. See, if we're going to believe what God expects, we will become. Believing what God expects causes us to become. What promise are we standing on? What promise do we not see in our life that we want it to become in our life? If we will believe the promise, believe is an action word, not just have a belief, not just faith, but if we will believe an action word, active believing, a promise of God, it will become. We want it to become. Abraham believed what God expected, and he became the father of many nations. He wasn't, but he became the father of many nations. According to what was spoken, so shall your descendants be. And not being weak in his belief or weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead since he was 100 years old in the deadness of Sarah's womb. See, he was not weak in his belief. He was not weak in his belief, and he did not consider. So he was very aware of his age. He was very aware that his wife was barren, like her whole life she was barren. But based on his belief, he chose to focus on that rather than the situation and circumstances. He chose to focus on his belief. His belief was based on what God said. So he wasn't weak in faith and considered these things. He was aware of them, but he didn't consider them. He was aware of them, but he didn't focus on them. He was aware of them, but he didn't think about it all the time. I think this sometimes becomes our problem, is we're aware of our problem, we're aware of our situation, and we think about it, and we focus about it, and we talk about it, and that's all that takes up the space in our brain. God said, listen, he didn't consider it. He knew about it. He was aware of it. He wasn't denying it. But he just didn't consider it. He considered something else. He considered the promise. He considered what God said. He chose to have a certain specific belief. He wasn't weak in his belief. He chose a specific belief. This, God said this, so that's my belief. I know it doesn't look like that way. I know it doesn't seem that way. I know it just it's everyone says it's impossible. I'm tempted to think it's impossible. But I hold to this belief because God said so. God said so. Verse 19, and not being weak in his faith or his belief, he did not consider his own body dead, which was about 100 years old, neither the deadness of Sarah's womb. He did not waver. King James says stagger. Again, that word would just mean to separate or to withdraw from. He didn't waver. He didn't stagger. He didn't separate himself from the promise. He chose the promise. His belief was the promise. My belief is based on the promise, he said. And because his belief was based on the promise, and he didn't waver, or he didn't separate himself from the promise, and he didn't withdraw from the promise, he stuck with the promise. He held to the promise. Held to the promise. Right? God says that he was not weak in his belief, but he was strong in his belief because he refused to separate it from it, through unbelief. Unbelief would choose to have a belief of something else, to change his belief. Right? Unbelief. Unbelief is not non-belief. It's just to change the belief. My belief is God said, No. I guess I'm gonna change my belief because it just doesn't look like that anymore. That's not what he said. No, he didn't separate from the promise. He didn't withdraw from the promise. He kept strong in his belief based on what God said, the promise of what God said. Hallelujah. And the Bible says that he was strengthened in his belief. I just wish that I could be strengthened in my belief. Well, how did he get strengthened in his belief, in his faith? Giving glory to God. Giving glory to God. He had a belief. A belief based on what God said. And he was strengthened in his belief. How did he strengthen himself in his belief? He just began to glorify God. He began to praise God and thank him for what he said. Lord, I believe. This is my belief. I am totally convinced. Hallelujah. And he began to glorify and praise God because of that belief. 21, and being fully convinced, persuaded, convinced, that fully persuaded, like completely convinced, fully convinced. It's not just, I know. Convinced that what God promised, he was also able to perform. So how was he strengthened in his belief? Well, he glorified God and he was fully convinced. Fully convinced. I'm just convinced. God is able to do what he said. God is able to do it. God said it, God's able to do it. I don't know how. I don't know when. All I know is He's able. So I just continue to glorify and praise God and thank Him because of this belief, what He said. And just know that He's able. I'm just convinced He is able to do it. Therefore, it was accounted to him for righteousness. Now, it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but also for us. Say me. Say me. Okay, that's who he's talking about. He says, it wasn't just written for Abraham, it was written for me. It was written for you. It was written for us. That it was imputed to us who believe in him. Believe, faith, believe. That's a verb. Believe in him. Act of believing. Who raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead. It's also imputed and given to us. It's also made legally ours, and we can receive it, we who believe. Act of believing. It's also for us. Who were delivered up before, who was, talking about Jesus, who was delivered up because of our offenses and was raised because of our justification. Therefore, chapter 5, verse 1, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have been justified by faith. Justice, righteousness, being made right, having things put right, set right, made right in our lives is a result. It's something that's legally ours because of our belief in Jesus. We've been made right. And because we have legally been made right or have access to this being made right because of our belief, we have peace with God. Being made right with God, placed in right standing with God, is our legal right because of our faith or our belief. We have peace with God. God's not mad at us. God's not our problem. Amen? Through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand. See, faith, our belief, gives us access. Our belief, our choosing. Lord, this is what you said. This is my belief. Our belief in what God said gives us legal access to the grace, to that which He has freely given us. Whatever the promise is, He has freely given it to us. Our belief gives us legal access to this. See, it's because of His grace that we actually have strength to stand. But when I read this the other day, I also see, listen, this grace, what He has freely given us, we're literally standing in the middle of what He has freely given us. We're standing in His grace. We're standing literally in the great and precious promises of God. We're standing in it. It's legally ours. It's like someone giving you a $500 gift certificate to go to the grocery store, and you're standing in the middle of the grocery store with all this food. It's all yours. $500 worth. Just go get whatever you want. Standing right in the middle of everything. His grace. We're standing literally in the middle of His grace, what He has freely and richly given us, all things to enjoy. Graciously responded, favorably acted on our behalf with His power, His ability, and resources. We're standing, literally standing in the middle of it. Great faith, our belief, has literally given us legal access to it all. We're standing right in the middle of all that is ours. We read about the older son. Dad came out to him. He said, "You never gave me anything." And the father said, "Son, you've always been with me. Everything I have is yours." He's been literally standing in the middle of everything that's his, legally his, but he didn't receive any of it because he did not act on it. He didn't know he was a son. So we're literally standing in the middle. We have access by faith, by our belief in what God said, in his grace in which we stand. And we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. We rejoice in the expectation of the glory of God, the goodness of God, the manifestation of God in our lives. We need to learn to rejoice. I've been teaching about this for the last year I've been here. Rejoice. We need to learn to rejoice. In order to access, in order to get hold, in order to receive what's ours, we're going to have to put some action to our belief. And he says, listen, we rejoice in the expectation of the goodness of God. David said this, I would have fainted unless I expected to see the goodness of God in the land of the living. I would have fainted. I would have given up. Unless I expected. I expected to see the goodness of God in the land of the living. That's here on the earth. He said, I expected to see. I would have given up, but I expected to see the goodness of God in my life. Like in the here and now. We don't need to give up. Not if we're going to have a belief in what God said and then choose to rejoice in the expectation of seeing his goodness in our lives in the here and now. Amen? Hallelujah. And not only that, verse 3, but we also glory, we rejoice, we're excited in tribulations. Too many people religiously, well, we just want to thank God for the tribulation. He didn't say thank him for the tribulation. He didn't even say praise God for the tribulation. He said praise God in the tribulation, not for the tribulation. We might find ourselves in something that literally we might find ourselves in something because of our choices. We might find ourselves in a situation because of someone else's choices. Nothing to do with us, just someone else's choices. That's how, and we'll get to that. I don't know, are we going to get to that? I don't know if we'll get to that. Well, I think we'll get to it. That's how Paul found himself in that ship that was in the middle of a storm for 2 weeks. It wasn't his choice. He had to be there. So sometimes we just find ourselves in a situation because of other people's choices. Our choices, other people's choices, and then sometimes we just find ourselves in a situation because the devil hates us. He's come to steal, kill, and destroy. So whatever the reason, we're not thanking God for the tribulation, we just find ourselves in a tribulation. So what do we do when we find ourselves in the tribulation? Well, in the tribulation, we need to glorify God. We need to glorify God, not for it, but we need to glorify God because of what his word says, because we have a belief. We have a belief in what God has said. And as we rejoice in the Lord because of the belief that he has given us, the word that he has spoken to us, he can take us out of the tribulation. He can remove the tribulation. He can cause us to overcome the tribulation. He can cause us to come through the tribulation. Some people get delivered before. Some people get delivered after. Right? Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. They were delivered in the fire, out of the fire, not before the fire. So sometimes we're delivered in, sometimes we're delivered out, sometimes we're delivered before, sometimes we're delivered after. Either way, God gets all the glory because we put our trust in him. Amen? Hallelujah. There's no going under. Not if we're going to have a belief in what God said and we're going to believe and act on what he said. So he says this, listen, we're going to glory in the tribulation so God can move and work on our behalf. Knowing this, that the tribulation produces perseverance or patience. How do you develop patience? How do you develop perseverance? How do you develop this strength of patience or perseverance. It comes through tribulation, pressure, opposition, and our choosing to believe what God said, act on what God said, and not give up. And perseverance produces what? It produces character or experience. Too many people do not have any character because they have not had to go through anything. They've not just had to stand up and stand by and have a belief that I'm not going to cave in and I'm not going to back down. This is what I believe. They've never had to do that. They have no character because they've not had to stand up for anything that's right. Character. Perseverance produces character. And character produces hope or expectation. Why? God did it last time, He'll do it this time. If He did it last time, He'll do it this time. Hope, expectation. If He said that last time and He got it, this is what He said this time, He'll do it again. God is faithful. God is faithful. Hope, expectation. And now hope does not disappoint. Why does our expectation in what God said and in His character not disappoint? King James says, cause us to be ashamed. Because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. We have expectation, and our expectation will not be disappointed. Why? Because the God who loves us lives in us. The God who loves me lives in me. The God who loves you lives in you. We will not be ashamed. We will not be disappointed. There is an expectation, and we shall experience our expectation. Why? Because the God who loves us lives in us. Hallelujah. So now let's go to Acts chapter 27. Acts chapter 27. I guess that's just back a couple pages. Acts 27. Acts 27, we see, you know, Paul has been arrested and now he's appealed to Caesar. And so they're taking him to Italy. And he was on a ship. And they went from one ship, then they went to another ship. And it seems like, verse 9, now when much time had been spent in this place, sailing was now dangerous because the fast was already over. And Paul advised them, saying, men, I perceive that this voyage will end with disaster and much loss, not only of the cargo and ship, but also of our lives. Nevertheless, the centurion was more persuaded by the helmsman and the owner of the ship than by the things spoken by Paul. And because the harbor was not suitable to winter in, the majority advised to set sail from there. Also, if by any means they should reach Phoenix, a harbor of Crete, opening towards the southwest and northwest, and winter there. They were just hoping to get to this other place and spend the winter there. And so they were just under pressure. But Paul's been spending time with the Lord, and then he says, I perceive. I mean, God didn't say anything. An angel didn't show up, but he just had this perception. He just knew in his spirit. I don't think this is a good idea. Well, the centurion said, okay, so you don't think it's a good idea. Talks to the helmsman, the captain, and talks to the owner and say, what do you think? And they said their deal. And so the centurion said, okay, we'll just go with you guys. Verse 13, when the south wind blew softly, supposing that they had obtained their desire, putting out to sea, they sailed close to Crete. They stayed close by. But not long after, a tempestuous headwind arose called Euroclydon. You know, when they name a storm, it's not a weak storm. When it's got a name, it's a big deal, and it was a big deal, and it was very dangerous. So when the ship was caught and could not head into the wind, they just let it drive. They pulled the sails down and they just let it go. And running under the shelter of an island called Clauda, they secured the skiff with difficulty. And when they had taken it on board, they used cables to undergird the ship, and fearing lest they should run aground on the Sartus sands, they struck sail. So they were driven. So they took the emergency boat and they pulled it in, and then they literally wrapped the boat. They tied it up with ropes so it wouldn't fall apart under this storm. They tied it all up, and then they just rose the sail, set up sails, and off we go. We're going to see what we can do. And it's not good. And because we were exceedingly tempest-tossed, the next day they lightened the ship. It was just so bad. We have to lighten. We're sitting too deep in the water. We need to lighten the load. We need to stay close on top. And so after one day, you know, this is not like an 8-hour day, you know, and it just became a calm night and they went to sleep in the calm night and then they woke up and the storm came again. No, this is like 24/7. There was no calm. There was no relaxation. All day long. So then they lightened the ship. On the third day, we threw the ship's tackle overboard with our own hands. 3 days of this disaster, 3 days of this storm, 3 days of no rest, no calm, 3 days of fighting this storm, fighting to stay alive. 3 days. Now, when neither sun nor stars appeared for many days, and no small tempest beat on us, 24/7, just beat on us. After many days, I mean, this could be 10 days, this could be 11 days, this could be 12 days, literally this could be 13 days. Because the next thing we start talking about is on the 14th day. So this could be 13 days later. This is almost 2 weeks of fighting this storm, and it has not let up. It has given them no rest and no relaxation, no breaks. After many days, this thing beat on them. All hope that we should be saved was finally given up. The professionals gave up. The professionals said, there is no way we're making it home. There is no way we're making it out of this alive. None. No way. But after long abstinence from food, then Paul stood in the midst of them and said, men, I told you, you should have listened to me and not have sailed from Crete and incurred this disaster and loss. And now, you should have listened to me. I told you so. But now take courage, cheer up. For there will be no loss of life among you, but only of the ship. Yeah, how do you know? Well, because there stood by me this night an angel of the God of whose I am. He's not your God. He's my God. And I'm His. I belong to Him. I am His. Because I'm His, He's taking care of me. I'm His. I belong to Him. He's personally watching over me. The God of whose I am and whom I serve. And he said to me, he sent me an angel, and this angel said to me, do not be afraid, Paul. You must be brought before Caesar, and indeed God has granted you all those who sail with you. Y'all should be saying thank you that I'm on the ship, because the only reason you, who have no hope, have hope now is because I'm on the boat. and I am His, He is mine, and He sent an angel, and He said, don't sweat it. Don't be afraid. God said, He's granted all of your lives because I'm on the boat. I need to get to Rome. Therefore, take heart. Cheer up. Cheer up. Cheer up, men, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. I believe God. What's believe? A verb. Act of believing. I believe God. Act of believing. It's not just a belief. Act of believing. It's a verb. I believe God. I'm acting on what He said. I believe God. It's producing action. I'm doing something. I believe God that it shall be, even as it was told me. I don't know about you, but maybe it looks like your ship is going down. Maybe it looks like your ship and your situation and your circumstance is going down. You might find out be thinking that there's no hope for you. I believe God. I believe God. It's our belief that puts us over. I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. Our belief means it's legally ours. But our believing Him makes it ours to receive. Believe. It's a verb. Amen? When your ship looks like it's going down, it only means God's got something better. If we choose to believe Him, He's got something better for us. Amen? However, we must run aground on a certain island. Now, when the 14th night had come, they were driven up and down the Adriatic Sea. About midnight, the sailors sensed that they were drawing near to some land, and they took some sounding, and they found it was 20 fathoms, and then they found it was 15 fathoms, and so they dropped anchor. Paul said to the centurion, verse 31, and the soldiers, unless these men stay in the ship, you cannot be saved. So the soldiers cut away the ropes of the skiff, the emergency boat, and they let it fall off. And when it was about dawn, Paul implored them to have something to eat, take something to eat. So they ate. Verse 36, and they were all encouraged and also took food for themselves. And there were 276 guys on the ship, or people on the ship. And when it was day, verse 39, they didn't recognize the land, but they could see a beach. And so they were instructed. Well, actually, look at this. They let the anchors go, left them in the sea. Meanwhile, they loosed the rudder ropes. And they hoisted the mainsail to the wind and made for shore. They're aiming their ship now towards the shore of this land right there. But striking a place where two seas met, they ran the ship aground, and the prow stuck fast and remained immovable, but the stern was being broken up by the violence of the waves. You might think you're stuck. You might feel you're stuck. You might feel you're just getting kicked in the butt. Life is kicking you in the butt. There is hope. There is hope. And so they swam and they floated on pieces of the ship and they got to shore. Look at this, chapter 28. Now when they had escaped, they found that the island was called Malta. And the natives, the citizens there, showed us unusual kindness. It's called favor. And they kindled up a fire and made us all welcome because of the rain, and it was cold. And when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, a viper, a snake, jumped out and grabbed the first thing it could grab hold of to get out of the fire, and that was Paul's hand. And so then the natives there, the citizens, saw the creature hanging on Paul's hand, and they said, well, to one another, no doubt this man is a murderer whom, though he has escaped the sea, yet justice doesn't allow him to live. And he shook the snake off into the fire, and he suffered no harm. However, when they expected that he would swell up and suddenly fall down dead, but after that they looked, and for a long time they saw no harm come to him, they changed their thinking. They said, oh, he must be a god. In that region, there was an estate of the leading citizen of the island whose name was Publius, and he received us and entertained us courteously for 3 days. And it happened that the father of Publius lay sick with a fever and dysentery, and Paul went to him, and he prayed, and he laid his hands on him and healed him. And when it was done, the rest also came from the island who were sick, came to him, and he healed them. And they also honored us in many ways, and when we departed, they provided such things that were necessary. After 3 months, we sailed in an Alexandrian ship whose figurehead was the twin brothers, which was wintering at the island. So, here we go. Disaster was coming, lost all hope, but God said, listen, don't be afraid. You must be brought to Rome. Yeah, but our ship is being beaten up, our life is being beaten up, and everything looks like it's going to fall apart. We're going to die. But you say we're not going to die. Okay, we're not going to die. I don't know how you're going to do it. But he said, here we go. So if our life looks disastrous, looks like we're getting kicked in the butt, I'll tell you what. I believe God that it shall be as it was told me. And God brought what? God brought safety. Right? They made it to this other island, safe and sound. There was favor. They showed unusual kindness towards them. And even one of the main guys on the island invited them to his estate, and he entertained them for 3 days. Favor. Then they were there for 3 months. And then they gave them stuff. There was revival. Revival. Prayed for the sick. Prayed for the leader. God was healing people. There was revival on the island. And then when they left in a very famous boat. Famous ship. God provided for them, and off they went. In a better ship than they came in. Hallelujah. God's got better for us. God's got better for you. If we will do what? If we will just believe God, that it shall be even as he said. Amen? If we just believe God that it shall be even as he said, it just gets better. It just gets better. Amen? Better. Our best days are ahead of us. Glory to God.